Now let's pray as we come to look at this in a bit more detail. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these two different bits of Matthew's gospel we've been able to look at today. We pray as we keep looking at it and thinking about it, you'd help us to hear, to listen, to respond, to love, and to serve you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know we're starting a new sermon series this week, and we're thinking about the fact that we're on a mission from God. I thought right at the start I need to get these guys out of the way, because whenever I think of those words, we're on a mission from God, I can't help but think of the Blues Brothers, probably because that line gets used over and over and over again in the movie. I thought about it, it's not such a bad illustration for this series. Just like them, we're on a whole, it's a holy thing that we're on. They were driven and passionate about their mission. They were convinced that nothing could stop them, that they couldn't be caught because they were on a mission from God. And their mission was just to get the band back together. A good mission, but I think our mission's even better. So we're going to look at it a bit this morning. So I'm going to start, and I want to say that I think this is a great series for us to be involved in, thinking about our mission as a church. Because our mission is a great thing, not just something that we stick on the website or print in our little brochure so people know what we're on about and that's it. But it's an important summary of what we think we're on about as a church, why we're here, should govern what we do, what we think is important, what we set about doing and being as a church. So it's an important question, an important thing for us to all look at, because this is our mission as a church. This is our mission. We should all be involved in this. We should all be engaged with this mission. What part are you? What part am I going to play in carrying this mission out? Well, what is this mission? What is our mission at St. Thomas's? Who thinks they can remember what it is? I'll give you a hint. It's broken up in three parts. So the first part, speak the gospel. Second part, teach the Bible. Third part, build community that demonstrates God's love. A few people have memorized it. That's great. If you haven't, you should be able to read it on the front of your pew sheet. We put it there helpfully each week. The way I remember it is because it's an acronym for our initials, St. Thomas's Burwood, speak, teach, build. As I said, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at this in more detail, and we're going to think about how over the following 3 weeks, how we can speak the gospel, what you can do, what I can do to speak the gospel to others, how we as a church can teach the Bible and why it's important. And we think about how we can build community that demonstrates God's love, and we'll have a great expression of that in our combined service on the 4th of August. But this morning I want to take a step back and think about, well, where does this mission come from, actually, and who is it for, and why is it important? Where did this mission come from? Did it turn up on a little self-destructing tape buried in a bundle of TMAs sent out from the diocese? A bit like those missions in Mission Impossible. No, it came, at least in this way, from a joint vestry meeting of St. Thomas's. As this parish was being birthed, I'm told that this is the condensed version of all the different statements that people were saying, all the different things that they thought it was important that we do as a church. And out of all that, this kind of condensed, super rich phrase or mission statement came out. This is what we decided, the vestry decided we should be on about. But actually, while the words themselves might have come from the vestry, the mission itself came from a much higher authority. If there is such a thing as a higher authority than the vestry. No, of course there is, and that's God. Our mission is direct from God. As I said, not in the words we've chosen to express it, but nonetheless it's God who's given us this mission. We see that in the start of that passage that we had read from the end of Matthew. It's Jesus who gives this mission to us. Right before he gives the mission, Jesus reminds his disciples that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He reminds us that he's the one in charge. He's the one in control. He's the one who's been given all authority. So he's the one who commands. He's the one who sends us out on this mission. He says, all authority has been given to me, therefore you need to go, because I'm telling you to. This mission isn't just from God in the sense that he's the one who's sending us out on it. This is his mission. God just calls us to join him in it. It's the mission that God is on that he's sending us out to take part in. In the confirmation classes, we've been looking at, we looked at last week how God made the world perfect and blessed. People in perfect relationship with him and with each other and with the world. But that through our sin we brought condemnation into that blessed world. So the whole world is now condemned. We're starting to look at, and this week we'll look at how God, what God is doing to restore that blessed world. We're looking at the fact that Jesus is, God is on a rescue mission. The aim being to bring people back. To restore that blessed, perfect world. To rescue people from the condemned world. As Paul puts it in Colossians, to rescue us from the power of darkness and transfer us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. The reality, of course, that it's a mission that only God could do, that only Jesus could deliver us. It's only through the cross that we could be saved. But this wasn't a super secret mission, an ultra top secret kind of, I could tell you but I'd have to kill you kind of mission. No, this is a mission that everybody needed to hear about and everybody does need to hear about. Everybody needs to know that God has rescued us through Jesus. Everybody needs to know about this. Part of the mission is telling people about what God has done. So if we look back right at the start of Matthew's gospel, we see that right from the start, Jesus is on board with this mission. That at the start of his ministry, from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The mission is to tell people that the kingdom is here. We see very early on that Jesus enlists others to help him on in this mission. It's not that he waits until the end of his time on earth to pass it on to others. Right from the start, he gets us on board. He gets us involved in this mission of proclaiming the kingdom. So in Matthew chapter 10, he gathers the disciples together and sends them out, telling them as they go to proclaim the good news, the kingdom of heaven has come near. He's showing us that this is his mission, but it's also our mission. He invites us to join with him in it. At the end of his gospel, John puts it, John records Jesus saying these words, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you." Making it clear in another way that just as Jesus was sent to proclaim the kingdom, so we too are being sent to proclaim the kingdom. Just as Jesus was on, this was Jesus' mission, so too is it our mission. And so at the end, after his death and resurrection, before he ascends into heaven, Jesus appears and reminds the disciples of what this mission is. The great words that we have heard read from the end of Matthew. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This reminds us that this is the mission that we're involved in, the mission that we're to carry on and do. This is our mission to carry on. Now, in times gone past, people, in looking at this Great Commission and thinking about the mission God gives us, have focused on that command to go. And it's a good thing to do, but that's not at the heart of what the mission is. sent us to proclaim that the kingdom has come. But the key imperative there in what Jesus says, the actual command is to make disciples. In a nutshell, that's the mission he's passed on to us, not just to proclaim the good news, to go run out to a street corner, tell everybody the kingdom's come near, and then run back to church and hope that they turn up. We're commanded to go and make disciples. We do that as we go. It's in our going out that we make disciples, and we do it by teaching and baptizing and building people up. But the command, our mission, our orders are to make disciples, to help people to see that the kingdom has come near and invite them to join in, to join that kingdom through Christ. As part of that, our mission is indeed to speak the gospel. So we're to tell people the good news that Jesus has died for us, that he has rescued us through the cross. We're to proclaim that good news that the kingdom of God has come near and is indeed here in Christ. We're to call people to repent, to turn back to God. So we're to speak the gospel so that they can hear this news. They can hear about this mission and join in. And of course, as we do this, as part of speaking the gospel is baptizing people. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. A way of them showing that they've heard the gospel and they've responded and accepted it for themselves. So we need to speak the gospel. We said our mission doesn't stop there. We need to make disciples. We need to teach people to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. How do we know what that is? How do we know how God wants us to live? Well, he's told us. He's revealed it to us in his word. So our mission is also to teach the Bible, to instruct each other, to help each other to see how God wants us to live. Help each other know what it is he wants us to do. And as we do this, we're to go to all nations. Doesn't mean that all of us have to get up and go. I leave here right now and go and join the Kubes in Siberia. If we want to be really faithful in fulfilling this mission, we don't have to do that. It's in our going that we carry on the mission. When we see in Acts that some, like Paul, never stop moving, they're always on the go. It's almost with Paul like he gets home from one missionary journey and then is packing his bags ready to go out again. But we see that some stay. Some stay where they are, but in their day-to-day going, in their day-to-day lives, they still carry on the mission of sharing the gospel and teaching the Bible and building a community that demonstrates God's love. Because the mission is to reach out to everyone. The mission is to see God's kingdom built up, a kingdom where there are no more Jew and Gentile, a kingdom where all people are welcomed in, a community that demonstrates God's love, his love for all people, no matter who they are or where they're from. Our mission is to speak the gospel and tell people about Jesus. Our mission is to teach the Bible, to remind each other of how God wants us to live now. And as we do that, to build community, a community that reflects the community we'll find in heaven. You might think that this mission was just for those first disciples. Jesus appeared after all to them and gave them these words. They were the ones on the mountain. We're okay, we're off the hook. But that's not the case. Elsewhere, Jesus gathers out larger groups of people and gives them the same mission. At the start of Acts, when the whole church is gathered together, all the disciples, all the followers of Christ, he tells them the same words, that they are to be his witnesses throughout the whole world. The reality is this is a mission for all of us, for everyone who follows after Jesus. It's a mission for the whole church. It's a mission all of us have to undertake. There's no choice in the matter. in that show and in the movies Mission Impossible, that that tape always started with the words, your mission, should you choose to accept it. There was a choice there. The character could choose, if he wanted, just to let this one go, wait for the next mission to come along. That would have been a pretty short movie or episode if he did. But it's different for us. There is no choice. This is our mission. This is it. If we want to follow Jesus, then we have to be on board with this mission. This is what we all must do. But the good news is God knows exactly what we're like. He knows that we're not all super agents. If we look back at that, the start of that reading from Matthew, we see that when the disciples were gathered there, when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some of them also doubted. In reality, I think they probably all doubted in some measure. We're all probably wondering, could this really be Jesus? Is he really alive? Is he really telling us to go out and do what we think he's saying to do? What does Jesus do, though? He doesn't walk away from them. He doesn't tell them, go on, get yourself sorted out, and when you're ready, when you're fully trained up, when you're really ready, then I can send you out. No, Jesus doesn't walk away from them. In fact, he draws nearer to them. He comes closer. He meets them where they are to tell them that this is still their mission. He's letting us know that this is a mission for all of us, not just for those who we might look at and say, well, it's just for them, those spiritual giants, those ones who are super apostles or super followers of Christ. It's for everyone, for doubting fishermen and tax collectors like the first disciples were. It's for ordinary, everyday Christians just like us, just like you and me. Because Jesus, as Jesus reminds us at the end of that passage, he will be with us always. He doesn't send us out on this mission alone. He tells us that he will be with us every step of the way. He will be with us throughout the mission, going with us, going before us, supporting us and equipping us, enabling us to carry it out. After all, it is still his mission, and he wants us to succeed in it. As I said, over the next few weeks, we'll look at each the aspects of our mission statement, the way we've chosen to express that mission here at St. Thomas's together. So we're thinking about how we can speak the gospel and teach the Bible and build community. What are some practical ways we can be doing about that? This morning I want to ask just simply, are you on board with this mission? It's not a mission we've come up with as a vestry or staff team. This is the mission that God has given us. Are you on board with it? Are you ready to take your part in seeing the mission go forth? Are you ready to help us to get on board as a church as we do these things? Are you ready to do these things in your own life as well? This is our mission as a church, yes, but it's more than just what we do here on a Sunday or when we gather together. It's the way we've chosen to distill, to help us to remember the great mission that Jesus gives us all to carry out in our own lives, every day of our lives, every moment of our lives as we go forth in them, to speak the gospel, teach the Bible, and build community that demonstrates God's love. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, it is an incredible, almost impossible sounding mission that you have given us. But Father, we thank you that we are not alone in it. For you have promised to be with us always. And so we pray you would give us wisdom and courage and a great desire to follow you and join with you in this mission. We pray you'd be with us as we think about how we can fulfill it as individuals, but also as a church and as the people of St. Thomas's. We pray it in Jesus' name.